Oh my god, so big and strong.
Bung Bung Coffee, big, strong flavor. Competition? I don't think so. Bungbungcoffee.com, get yours.
Welcome to the party, best show on the internet, ask anybody. You know it's easy money, sit back, relax, get your headphones everybody. Welcome to the party, blackout in the booth, every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby, tell a friend to tell a friend, this is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, bung bung, it's your man Claytron, aka the big boss man, aka the clumsy jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the milkman. Because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PR of podcasting, the captain, the Josh Giddy, and Karl Malone of podcasting, because we are truly sick with it. How are you going over there, board man, averaging about 30 and 13, or?
Hopefully a bit more than that.
Yeah, man, Josh Giddy is out here catching these allegations.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about it, man. I probably shouldn't have sworn, but
I will bleep it. I don't know. I don't really. The family's not cooperating with police, so I guess that means they're not pressing charges.
They're in on it.
But hasn't he? Do you respect that move? Does that mean they're not bag chasing, or you think that they're hoping for a full time relationship?
I think long term bag chasing.
Long-term bag chasing. See, I was kind of respecting.
She's holding it down. He's got a bloody 12-year-old ride or die.
I was thinking, like, I was respecting her because she's not chasing the bag. But like, if she lives in Newport, I'm guessing it's Newport, Rhode Island that they're talking about. That's big money. That's where the boss lives, Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Okay.
So if that's where she lives, she doesn't need the bag really either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it all pans out, or we won't. NBA's keeping it all pretty hush-hush.
Yeah. Yeah, the NBA doesn't seem to care, you know.
Dude's out here playing.
Yeah, Ja Morant flashes a gun. He doesn't shoot anybody. He doesn't rob anybody. He's just got a gun on Instagram. Bang, he's done for 25 games.
Yeah.
Kyrie shares a link about hating Jews. And he's what did he get, 5 games or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Or like an apology to the Jewish community, or I don't know what that was. But then, yeah, a white guy does statutory and
the league and his team both fine with it.
Yeah, they don't see it, which is crazy. He doesn't, there needs to be, yeah. But the story is bigger than that, I guess. So apparently the word is that he met this girl in a club. He was advised that she was 18 years old, found out she was 16, notified OKC immediately, hasn't had contact since.
Okay, right. I haven't heard all that.
Yeah, and I guess like these screenshots and stuff, because she Snapchatted this Snapchat that the caption on it was, I just fucked Josh Giddy. He was in the background, topless, looked potentially drunk. I don't know. But that, yeah, social media sleuths have got their hands on that, and apparently she's 16 and he's 20 or 21. Regardless, man, even like she's pretty mid. Just to be honest, you are in the NBA. NBA players as a whole are just into mid bitches, man. None of them are dating like successful women. Like, who's dating someone successful? We had Nia Long, who was dating Ime Udoka, but he's a coach, he's an old man. He's got different tastes to these kids who want thoughts. You know, who else is dating someone? I mean,
what was Ime's taste in the end, though?
I don't know who the owner's wife or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Crazy, man. But then you've got Ayesha Curry. Ayesha Curry, that's right. Ayesha Curry, does cookbooks or something. I don't know. She's got a big face, so it's not even. But anyway, she's more wholesome than the bitches that most of the league are dating and banging. You know, Zion is with, you know, OnlyFans or, I don't know what his deal is. He's on one. Some chicks, you know, had a kid with someone on one. I haven't got my facts straight here, but
yeah, I remember seeing that one pop up now.
Anthony Simons and someone else from another team.
Brandon Ingram.
God, what? Like, why are they sharing? It's the same as the rap game. The rap dudes all bang the same bitches. It's like, why do you have to share them around? It's so gross. Trust me, I've got plenty of Eskimo bros, and one of my friends, we are Eskimo bros in quite a few situations, but I would never wife up any of those bitches, man. Like, if I'm sharing you with someone I know, like, I don't want to be with you ever. It's weird.
Yeah, I feel that 100%.
Yeah, it's... I don't want my friend... If any of my friends had slept with Rachel, so you know what that's like, you know what she likes? Nah, I don't want my friends knowing that shit. I'm not going to not be friends with my friend anymore over a chick either, so I'm just not going to be with that chick. And the whole NBA and all the rappers share bitches within the community, man. It's so sick.
Are they all friends, though? What is it? There's like 450 players or something in the league at any given time.
Yeah, but like if there's that many dudes, are you serious that we need to share bitches? Like you can't meet someone in your own town. You've got to fly the same bitches out that everyone else is flying around.
Country of what? Like probably 175 million women. But like,
even the smallest, I don't know what team would have the smallest city. Like maybe OKC or like San Antonio, Sacramento. I don't know. But all those cities are like bigger than Adelaide, you know? And I share no bitches in Adelaide. So what are we doing, NBA players? Josh Giddey's got the right idea, you know? He's not sharing, but he's like...
He's expanded his pool.
Yeah, but also just because you're not sharing doesn't mean you got to go to the nearest high school to find a girlfriend, dude. Like, what are you doing, man? You're in the NBA and you're...
jeopardizing it all
over young pussy, man. I'm I don't share your vision, Josh Giddey. Like I saw that picture and it's like I'm pretty sure I walked past 15 bitches that look like that today. Like who gives a fuck, man? What are you putting it on the line for? Love. And wasn't there a word that he was a virgin too?
Yeah, I did hear that early on.
So maybe that's part of the problem. It's like he doesn't even know what good pussy looks like. He's just like, oh, this chick, like, yeah, man, she's so nice, man. It's like, yeah, but she only just learned how to read my guy. Like, let's tighten it up, bro. Man, it's wild. It's not, you know, he's 20 or 21 with a 16-year-old. Gross. But, like, I think the Karl Malone thing. He was 30 with a 13-year-old, I believe.
Was he 30 when that happened?
I don't. It's all on source here at the Welcome to the Potty podcast. Let's call it alleged. Yeah. Allegedly.
I thought that was earlier in his career.
I don't know, man, but whatever it is, it's gross.
It's so funny. You start typing in Karl Malone. The first suggestion is Karl Malone 13.
And it's not even talking about rebounds, man. It's talking about the age of one of his ladies.
So he was 20.
Hey, guess what?
When still, I was, yeah. Still fucking
when
wild.
I was 16, I wouldn't want to be with a 13-year-old. But I'll tell you this. I got a hand job when I was 13 from an 18-year-old, which is weird because I don't feel like chicks usually like a young man like that. And yes, I was like a bit like physically more like advanced because of my size. I went through puberty early and all that shit. So I was a bit... I didn't look 13, I was like 13, but like she knew what year we went to the same school. She knew what year I was in.
You were still a child, bro.
And she jerked me off, dude. So crazy.
I wonder what the stats are.
Shout out to all my friends and family that listen to this show. Like my fucking parents listen to me talking about getting jerked off. Crazy.
I wonder if it's too late for you to chase that bag.
I don't know what she does with herself, but I know she's not in the NBA. And if she's in the WNBA, I don't want that back.
Oh, that'll backfire.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. But yeah, it's crazy. It's just so crazy. I would never, when I was 16, I wouldn't have wanted a 13-year-old. So like to think of a 20-year-old wanting that, like what? I get it. I kind of understand it more today because, like, the way girls are dressing and stuff these days, like, even when we were 13, girls dressed like quote unquote sluts, but they looked young. Like, they just, they didn't do whatever these girls are doing now. They look grown a lot of the time. Still hell gross. I'm not into them. Never have been. I'm not Josh Giddey. I'm the Josh Giddey of podcasting because I'm truly sick in the game, but he's really out there catching cases. So I haven't been betting on him because I've been expecting him to implode, but, like, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the dead. Kobe played some of his best basketball of his career when he was playing for his freedom.
Yeah, I'm not too well versed in what was going down at the time. Was that around the time of 81?
I think so. And I think that, I think coming out of that was like when his, the paradigm shift into Mamba, the Black Mamba, was like, I'm changing my number.
Rebrand.
Yeah. Unbelievable, man. So sometimes, maybe everybody should be taking Giddey for the overs right now, even though he's taking himself for the unders.
Yeah, might have just become a buy low candidate in the old fantasy league.
Yeah, dude, you said something outside which was mad funny. The NBA slogan. What was it? Because we were talking about Miles Bridges. He's still in the league. Is, what's his name from Houston? Kevin Porter Jr.
Kevin Porter Jr.
He's not playing, is he?
He's not on a roster right now.
Yeah. So, but like Miles Bridges, they just welcomed back into the league with open arms. And we're talking about Josh Giddey hasn't missed a game. He said, yeah, but it's not violence. It's just pedophilia. Yeah. And that's basically, it seems like that's the way the league looks at things. You can slap a bitch around.
No, you can't do
you
that.
You can't.
You can't do that.
You can't. You can't slap a bitch around, no matter how old she is. But if you want to, you know, bang a infant. All right, Clay's reviews.
Let's move on. Welcome to the party.
Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Clay's reviews.
This one was your pick.
Yeah, so I picked Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Old classic. I'd heard of it, but never seen it before.
Stanley Kubrick joint?
Yep.
And what's the plot?
A pragmatic US Marine observes the dehumanizing effects the Vietnam War has on his fellow recruits from their brutal boot camp training to the bloody street fighting in Hue.
So the recruit that we're talking about is a guy with glasses. Radar's from MASH.
Joker.
That's right, because he was like a bit of a smart ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, I didn't watch the movie this week. I ended up getting drunk instead with my girlfriend, but I have seen it. And I'm going to stick with my original rating from back in the day. But how about you hit me with your notes and I'll sort of retort. Just fucking gave you homework this week and then just didn't even fucking do it.
Didn't tell me to prepare for the test either. First thing I noticed was the quote from You and What Army by Bobby Creekwater.
Yes.
When I was watching that scene, I was like, I've heard this before. Where is it? And yeah, it's from this film.
Yeah. So at the start of that song, I can't even remember. But that song, actually just talking about the song, I can kind of hear it in my head and I'm getting goosebumps because that song really affects me for some reason. I think it's just like the fact that he's basically like, I'm going to be what I want to be and become what I'm aiming to become. Nothing can stop me. That's kind of like, I guess, what I want to be as a comedian. I'm like, let's fucking do this. But yeah, that song fucking gets me going, bro.
Yeah, the intro to that, so hard, that snippet they take from this film.
Yeah, so what's it, do you remember kind of how it goes?
Like something along the lines of like, you're a weapon for war. I'm hard, but I am fair. It goes on for ages, but.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember it because the song, like, yeah. Maybe that might be the end of it. It doesn't go, I'm hard, but I'm fair. And then the song.
That's how it ends in the song, but in the film, the scene carries on for a while.
Yeah, that God, yeah, that's a good pick, because I didn't even think of that when I was like sort of going back through this.
Yeah, that kind of got me locked in, because that happened in the first few minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And so that first... Oh, no, keep going.
And then during that same scene, like just as the general or whatever is about to wrap up talking, like the main character says something in the distance.
Is that Joker?
Yeah, yep. Well, he makes a joke or something, and General gets all up in his face, and... Mm. Joker doesn't really back down, and that's how he gets the name Joker. The general's like, oh, you're a bit of a Joker, are you? And just calls him that for the rest of the film.
Yeah. And we have, Vincent D'Onofrio is in that opening scene or opening act of the film. First act, probably, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. And he's a out-of-shape recruit struggling to sort of make it through. So I guess the lens isn't only on the Vietnam War, but on the pressure of training. I can't remember whether it was like, what's it called when you get forced to go?
Conscripted?
I don't remember whether they really touched on conscription at all, or these guys were like, they enlisted, right?
Yeah, I don't think they were conscripted.
Yeah. So he's having a hard time. He's like out of shape and all of that. And he gets a lot of shit. And him and Joker get paired up.
He gets a lot of shit from the guy running the show.
Yeah.
But like all the other recruits kind of have his back at the start.
Until he gets in trouble for contraband. And they all have to do push-ups while he's eating donuts.
Yeah, he's eating a donut.
Yeah.
And yeah, every time from there on out, whenever he messes up, everyone else has to do like punishments except for him.
Yeah. There's a lot of hierarchy, and I'm outranking you so I can treat you with disrespect or whatever in the military in general, but certainly at that time, that was just like what it was like. And I think the pressure got to, was his name Pyle?
Pyle, yeah.
Yeah. And he sort of, with Joker's help, started to become really proficient in what he was doing. He was like lacing up his boots properly and making his bed, and he became this really good marksman.
Yeah, I feel like the turning point was the scene where like all of the other recruits bash him with soap at night.
Oh, yeah, and... like he was gagged or something, maybe?
He was gagged, like held, like tied down to the bed, and every other recruit in the room, there would have been like 30 or 40 of them, all like put soap in pillowcases and were just beating the hell out of him while he was tied down.
Yeah.
Including Joker, who was meant to like be like mentoring him through this whole process.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I was watching, I was like, hey, that was the turning point for this guy's. Like, yeah, it snapped him into line, but...
It also snapped him like mentally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he started like talking to his rifle and shit. And, and Joker was like, what the fuck is going on with this guy? And then there's a scene, it's like maybe in the bathroom or something.
Yeah. So it's towards the end of this first chapter.
Yeah.
Joker's on like night duty. So like while everyone's asleep, he needs to like stay up.
Yep.
Roaming around the, whatever you call it, the dormitory, checks the toilet, and Pyle was sitting on the toilet, like, shining his rifle.
Mm.
Isn't
he, like, screaming out, like, the rifleman's creed or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after they have a bit of dialogue, he just starts screaming that out. The general gets up.
He wakes up the general, yeah.
Yeah, he comes in there and... can see that this guy's a bit like off the hinge.
He's like staring into oblivion type
yeah,
thing.
Tries to like talk him down and says, I'm going to take that gun off you now. Stay where you are. And then as he approaches him, boom.
Yeah. Pulls the trigger on him and then turns the gun on himself.
Yeah.
It's pretty grim, but it like, I guess it shows the mental toll that training can take. It's like,
yeah, and they made reference to it shortly before that too, like the general's quizzing all the recruits on these like mass shootings that have happened in America, just saying like, do you know who did this shooting? and then saying like, what do they both have in common? And it's the fact that they were US Marine trained.
Oh, right.
So they were able to hit these targets from whatever distance with like such accuracy.
Mm.
Kind of like talking up how good military training is, even though you're talking about like a disaster that's happened domestically. And yeah, there was just a little bit of irony in that.
Yeah.
This guy was glorifying that, and that's how he went out at the hands of a Marine.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, that's a great like parallel. And I guess it's just the mental hardship that I think not only training in defense or the army, but specifically at the time of the Vietnam War and like what you kind of already, I think US soldiers kind of knew that it was a death sentence. Like they were going there and just getting mowed down. So I think training for death, I guess they were at that time. I think, it would have taken a pretty huge toll on people mentally. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of was painting that picture. Then it went on, basically the next chapter was the deployment to Vietnam, and Joker was a sergeant at that time. He ranked up and grown hair.
Yeah, I think he was a sergeant, but what was he in? Like, it's like the news division.
Right.
Something like that. He was over there as like a writer for the military paper.
Yep.
Like an on-field sort of correspondent.
Yeah, and they were like filming I don't know if he was part of it, but they were filming like a documentary as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit later on. The first scene that you kind of introduced to him over there, he's in like a couple of scenes in. He's in like the writer's room with all the other guys that have the same job as him.
And yeah.
The guy in charge of them is like picking and choosing what they're actually going to write about.
Yeah.
Just making sure it's all like a positive spin to keep soldier morale up.
Yeah. And I guess that side of it as well is just like so brutal. Like we're going to fake that shit's good.
Yeah.
Despite what you're seeing.
Yeah. Like he was telling them to make stuff up.
Yeah.
Just to say they killed at least two of them before they died.
Yeah. And that's basically what was happening in the US with, who was that, Nixon? At that time, I'm not. What did we watch recently? Oh, it was Killers of the Flower Moon again. Just keep referencing that in every episode for the rest of our days. But like, I don't know anything about American history or Australian history for that matter. So I can't remember who was in charge at the time, but just kept sending more and more troops down to Vietnam to die. Essentially,
looks like there were four in total
presidents during that war.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, John F. Kennedy, and Dwight Eisenhower.
So this is getting really into the weeds here. Do you know anything about Watergate?
No, not really.
Because I know he was like stealing documents. Was that? I think that was Vietnam War based though. Like he didn't want the public to find out like the accurate number of deaths and the actual statistics on what he was sending people to war to, like, just how many people he was sending to die, basically. I believe, and it's all unsourced. Welcome to the Potty Podcast, and I'm sure it didn't happen anything in line with what I just said.
Quick wiki on the Watergate scandal.
Mm-hmm.
The metonym Watergate came to encompass an array of clandestine and often illegal activities undertaken by members of the Nixon administration, including bugging the offices of political opponents and people of whom Nixon or his officials were suspicious, ordering investigations of activist groups and political figures.
Okay, yeah, so exactly nothing, exactly not what I said.
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to find some supporting.
No, that's fine.
Info for you.
That's fine. I think there's enough evidence to say that I'm a retard there. So I can't really, you might have to clear this up for me. Joker ends up like actually going out. I remember the ending of the film. So what sort of happened between he's in this platoon, which is like the news platoon. Then like what happens from there?
So he's in there and then it's like a national night of celebration over there. So they're not expecting any sort of attack from the enemy.
Mm-hmm. But
there is an attack that night, and it's not just on their base, it's like a nationwide attack.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's a bit of a smartass towards his superior. So his superior decides, well, you're going out. I can't remember where it is. Must be Hugh, I think.
Yeah.
Sends him out there where, yeah, the US forces are in pretty dire straits from the look of it.
Yeah.
When they get out there. So, yeah, a bit of a suicide mission almost. Yeah.
There's a lot of people dying by the hands of a single sniper.
Yeah, so we're talking about like almost the final scene now.
Okay. Yeah, so the mission basically ends up becoming like we need to find this sniper and kill them.
Yeah.
There is a defiance of orders, the machine gunner, I forget what his name is.
Yeah, I forgot his name, so.
But like.
So at first, like, they think they're a little bit lost on this map and they decide that they need to head north or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the leader of their little group, like, sends the black guy in to, like, make sure there's no mines. Like, that just seems to be the typical role for black people in the military back then.
Mm-hmm.
Just human sacrifices. Anyway, this guy, like...
Booby trap. There's a booby trap somewhere.
That wasn't this scene here. Okay. I think that was before this one.
Yep.
This one here, this guy, like, yeah, he walks.
I'm such a fucking speckhead for even remembering.
Yeah, how long ago did you watch this?
I reckon I was in college. So we're talking 10 years probably.
Oh, man, you've got a pretty good memory to remember as much as you have.
This is a banger, though. Like, this is a memorable film. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this the mind checker, he goes out into this clearing. Everything looks clear. And then, like, he starts waving everyone to come over. Next thing you know, like, gets shot in the leg.
Yep.
From a sniper.
And then doesn't someone go to try and get him?
Yeah, the leaders like know like the enemy's in all of these buildings. Just stay put. We need tank support to go save him. And the guy with the machine gun's just like, nah, fuck that. We're not leaving him out there.
Yep.
No, sorry. Before the machine gun guy, another guy.
Yeah.
Says, nah, fuck that. I'm going to go save him. Runs out there. He gets
popped, yeah.
So now there's two dudes like laying there in agony.
Screaming. Like it's pretty.
It's pretty brutal scenes too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the third one goes in. And that's the guy with the big machine gun.
Yeah, and like the ammunition belts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. He just starts peppering these buildings, but yeah, I think by that point they kind of work out that it's just one person, one sniper that they're after.
Yep.
But yeah, this scene drags on for quite a while, like leads into nighttime. They're still just like scurrying around buildings trying to find this sniper.
Yeah.
And when they do eventually find the sniper, it's like a teenage girl.
Yeah. Joker has her in his sights, gun jams or something.
Yeah.
And she hears it, turns around.
Yeah.
He hides behind a wall, doesn't get popped. Someone else saves the day, but just wounds her.
Wounds her, yeah.
And they have like a... Is it a big argument or is it just a chat? Are they like yelling at each other? And they're trying to decide whether to let her suffer to death. Like she's mortally wounded. She's going to die. Do we take her out of her misery or let her fucking...
Seemed like everyone there wanted to just leave her to like writhe in pain. But Joker just like, no, we have to do something.
And they're like, yeah, well, if we have to do something, you have to fucking do it. Yeah. And so he kills her. And then they're walking back to base or something. Everything's like on fire. It's actually quite a beautiful shot. It's very dark, but there's flames everywhere. Mm-hmm. And they're like singing.
Chanting like a Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Some Mickey Mouse.
They're like spelling out Mickey Mouse with a chant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that last scene was pretty.
With the sniper.
With the girl. It was like. It's like highlighting the ineffectiveness and the pointlessness of the war. Like all these Marines just went down to one teenage
girl.
Sniper girl.
Yeah. I mean,
not that back, it's a girl or whatever.
Back then though, like you could say things like you're crying like a little girl. So like the imagery back then was like this little girl is, even though women are so fucking strong and better than us, and I believe they should get paid more than us as well. But it was like a little girl just taking out half an army, essentially. Yeah, so that was pretty strong.
Especially when a lot of them were already thinking, like, what are we doing over here? What are we fighting for?
Yeah.
These people don't even want us here.
Mm.
And, yeah, enemy was just in plain clothes. Just, yeah, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the Vietnam War, to be honest, and, like, why it was even fought in the first place.
No, I don't know what even initiated that war. Maybe that's because maybe I'm an idiot. But I do know that they just kept sending more and more down there. They were just getting annihilated. It was napalm. It was booby traps, a lot of booby traps. And I do remember studying a little bit of this in college. In like my first year of college, I think I had to take, you know, like basic courses in everything. And so there was a history class in there. And I remember seeing some of the traps, and it's just like so I don't know what the word is, but it was so brutal and inhumane. Yeah. A lot of the traps would keep people alive.
In agony.
Yeah. There was like these things, like they dig a hole in the ground and put like a piece of wood on it, where if it got stepped on, it would snap in like this.
Little prongs.
Yeah. And then if you tried to pull your leg out, the prongs would like come up like that into your leg. So it's like a bear trap, but it's made out of wood because they're all just like, they're jungle people. No, I mean, that's racist as hell, but
shit.
Yeah. A lot of that kind of stuff. A lot of digging holes. You'd fall into holes with just big spikes and you'd just impale, fall into holes with poisonous snakes. A lot of holes.
Yeah. I mean, it was, the movie kind of painted it out to be pretty inhumane on both sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%.
So I don't know if you recall, there was that scene where, like, Joker and his mate were first getting sent out to this, like, under-attack region, and the guy in the helicopter with him was just, like, he was just non-stop shooting out of the helicopter, and they were flying quite low, and it didn't show who was shooting, but the guy he was with was, like, dry-reaching.
Yeah.
And then it finally shows who was shooting, and it was just civilians like carrying rice and shit on their heads.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy. There's actually this video on YouTube that one of my professors, a lot of college talk this episode, but one of my professors like made us watch in class. It was called Collateral Murder. It was on YouTube. I don't know if it's still up there, but it was just these US, I don't know, soldiers, I guess you call them. You didn't see them because you just saw like their vision. And they're just aiming at stuff and blowing it up, and they're talking to each other as if it's a video game. And they don't, like, there's absolutely no care in the world for the lives that they're taking. And their civilian lives. Yeah, I guess that's inhumane. But what you mentioned before as well, like, one of your soldiers pissed you off, so you send him out on a suicide mission because he was a smart ass. Like, yeah, talk about inhumane, you know? It's like, I mean, war in any sense, like we're in the middle of this. I mean, I think the Ukraine war is still happening. No one cares anymore because we've got the Gaza Strip going off. Mm. But like, yeah, the Israeli-Palestine stuff, like, man, there's a lot of side taking, and no one seems to actually like give a fuck that there's people dying on both sides. Like, no one wins here. This is horrific what's going on, but we want to take sides. I get it. It's very sensitive for people. I don't want to get into it because I can't wrap my head around like really who's in the wrong. It depends how far back you go, I guess, to choose who's in the wrong. I don't know. I don't want to get into it, but like war in general is just despicable. You would hope that there's other ways to resolve things at this, you know, we're so advanced as a species. Well, we think we are anyway, but every time there's a disagreement, we resort to blowing things up. Like, there's just like a point of humanity, I think, where you max out, and I think you got to reset, and like everyone's got to die, I think. Like, for real. Like, I mean, I just think there's a point where we get too smart for ourselves. Like, AI is going to take, like, going to get to, like, it's going to get too far. War gets too far. The decisions being, like, people get in too high positions of power, too much money, where it's just like, the species has to reset at some point. I think, like, unfortunately, I don't think we're fucking far off of that. Like, we may be the generation to witness it, man.
Hoping not around for the reason.
Yeah, me too, man. But it's just, it's crazy. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going right now. But there's a few. Well, no, really, just one thing that I remember a lot from Full Metal Jacket was the framing in a lot of the shots. So the examples that I could pull from it, I'm sure there's way more. Probably even the scene you were talking about with the gunner, I'm sure it would have been framed with, like, at least the top and the bottom of the helicopter. You would have seen, I won't say, because I don't remember that scene so much, but framing in the bathroom with Pyle, cubicles framing that shot, beds framing the shot when he's getting beat up. When they first get to Vietnam, you've got a tank driving through, like, palm trees, which are framing the shot of the drive. And then there's tons of shots framed by building ruins during the sniper scene. So the framing was like a huge tool used impeccably throughout this film. Not only, like, was the message loud and clear, obviously the dialogue was amazing, the acting, you know, those guys that got shot out in the middle of the open there, and like their screams and stuff were, like, haunting. It's an amazing movie. It's definitely not uplifting. But yeah, outside of, like, the sound design, the set design, the acting, for me, the framing really was a major piece from what I remember.
No, it was good. I think for me it was the acting.
Yeah.
Well, there were a couple of real standout performances.
There was no one in that was like, oh God, he's doing a bit. Like,
yeah, not at all.
Yeah. What did you give it?
I gave it an 8.5.
Yeah, I gave it a 9. And what did you snack when you watched this one?
Had a, like, caramel choc chip cornetto, so absolutely nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah. But maybe the shape of a sniper's round.
Had, like, a full waffle cone, I guess.
Yeah. yeah, man, unreal. If you guys haven't seen Full Metal Jacket, like, that's a must see. You know, we talked about, what did we watch last week? Being on the list of must sees.
The one I recommended.
Yeah.
Oh, don't let the wrong one in. Is that it?
Let the right one in. I don't know how that got on that list, but Full Metal Jacket should certainly be on that list.
100%.
9 out of 10. You guys know what it is. Welcome to the potty on everything. Follow us, especially in your podcast apps, but follow us on social media, all the social media, and tell a friend about the Welcome to the Potty podcast, man. If you tell a friend, whether you tell them on the phone, record it. If you got it in your group chat, screenshot it. Send the way you share it to us, and you are automatically in the draw to win free Welcome to the Potty merch each month. The more times you share, the more entries you get. That's basically the way that it works. So tell a friend about the Welcome to the Potty podcast. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. As always, bye-bye.